Welcome to the Bold Brave Women Story Hour, where we share with you the heroic and intimate journeys of everyday women to inspire and accompany you as you boldly face your day and bravely make a difference in the world. And here's your hostess, master relationship coach, best-selling author, award-winning international speaker, and founder of the Bold Brave Women Club, Mei Vu.
Welcome. Welcome to another amazing episode of Bold Brave Women Radio. This is your host, Mei Vu. I am your master coach around relationships and building your business. I work with divorced moms and single moms who are wanting to have all the above. You want a free, powerful life where you are working with purpose and you are raising confident children, plus having the hot, what I call hot life with hot love with an intimate partner, whether it be your husband or if you're out there dating again, to attract and bring in that perfect man or companion for you. And I love doing these radio shows because I get to talk deeply with powerful women, bold and brave women around the world who have survived, gone through amazing journeys so that they can be who they are today and they get to do what they love to do in this lifetime. So tonight, I have with me Jane Moore Sweat. She is the founder and president of Women with Purpose, an organization in Florida supporting families with tragic illnesses. I'm going to let Jane tell us more about that. But we're going to, like, aside from business and all that stuff, we're going to dive in and really get to learn about Jane's bold, brave journey that makes her who she is today. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, Jane is a new friend of mine, so I'm excited to get to have this conversation too because I don't know much about you, so I'm going to get to know a lot more tonight. So start us somewhere, honey. Where would you like us to dive in into your life that is the first significant piece of your Bold Brave Woman journey?
Well, I love the title, Bold Brave Women, because we are, and there's so many of us that have stories. Everybody has a story. And mine is more of a determination. I got married young, and my husband and I went overseas. We were teachers. He was principal and also a headmaster. And our last place that we were at, we were overseas for 20-some years. I have three children, all of them born in a different continent. And the last place we went to was Bilbao, Spain, and which is in the Basque Country. And it was a small school, and they were trying to get it to add different years. And I think when we got there, it went to 8th grade or 9th grade, and then it went to 10th grade. And they were going to try to get 11 and 12 in there. But during that time, he had gotten sick. And even before, I thought, you know, I would look at him and think, gosh, he looks like he's losing weight, he's losing muscle mass. And I just kind of wrote it off as being, you know, leaving a country that we loved and leaving friends. And our son was going off to college, to Eckerd College here in Florida. And that, and moving, you know, to a whole other country again, it can be rather stressful. So we're in Spain for a while. And by November, it's pretty obvious to me he's pretty ill. So we finally get into a hospital, and he is diagnosed with AIDS. And to hear that devastating diagnosis, I cannot begin to tell you what it did to me. And also, it was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And let me remind you that this was back in the 80s, late 80s. And we were in a situation where there wasn't a lot of information that I could get my hands on to even read about it. So we had an opportunity, or I did with the two girls, to come back to the States. And my husband came back and forth a little bit. And towards the end, he did die here in the States. But we were, the girls and I were basically left with pretty much nothing. I had to find a job.
So wait, hold on. There's so many things there that I want to jump in on.
Okay.
Oh my God, right? So to discover that your husband is dying is one thing, but to
Yeah.
discover that your husband is dying from AIDS, that's a whole different ball game.
Oh,
What's
yeah.
that? What's the story behind that, and what's the pain inside that, Jane?
Well, the story, unfortunately, he was never, he never would talk about it. And so I couldn't get really any information out of him. And it got to the point where it was, oh my God, what about me? Am I
Yes.
next? And also, what about my children? Because you just don't know. And I would try to get my hands on anything I could that was about that, magazine articles and different publications and stuff. And there just wasn't that much, and there certainly wasn't next to nothing in English, and Spanish, forget it, I couldn't read it. So I started preparing myself, if you will, and the girls, the kids, to get money, because I knew when I came to the States I would have to be, living in an apartment, getting a car, all that kind of stuff. So there was so much that, you just kind of, I was socking money away like crazy because I was, doing a lot of tutoring and different jobs here and there, Saturday morning at the school, doing some more teaching and tutoring there. I was beside myself. It was like putting one foot in front of the other every single day and trying to have a normal type of atmosphere within the home with my kids. It wasn't easy.
Yes, it's not right. So it's like I want to capture this part because so often when we're so busy being bold and brave, the vulnerable, sad, confused, disappointed, all that part inside us do not get to be highlighted, to be acknowledged, to even just to sit with, to be witnessed by us because we're so busy moving forward. And I know that it was, I can tell the momentum of the story. It's like you want to go into the starting over part, but I want to, the reason why I do these shows, I want to capture these moments, these invisible moments that we all had to live through, and give it some light, give it some time, so that other women who are going through this, as they're courageously, boldly pushing forward to get all the pieces back into place, that this part of them, the vulnerable part that is going, wait, this husband of mine whom I have betrothed myself to for, fidelity and love and honesty and integrity and commitment and all this stuff, end up having AIDS. And at that time, you don't have enough support, you don't have enough knowledge, Even now, if a partner comes down with AIDS, it still is a bloody mess. So it's like, what was it like inside, Jane? Was it deafening? Was it insanity? Was it shattered? Or all the above? You know, let's try to get some words around that.
Well, it was all of the above because, you know, you, as women, you think, oh, my God, what's wrong with me? Why, he was 10 years older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, so much of him, he grew up in a very small Michigan town, and I think never had the opportunity to come out as everybody does now. And also, I think that, you know, it's just so hard to put everything into words. He has this, he's a brilliant man. He could sit mm-hmm. down and play the piano without any music in front of him. He could speak multiple languages. He was very, very smart. I will say one thing that I did that I thought was really smart of me. I didn't know I was so smart at the time, but mm-hmm. I made sure that the kids knew that what had happened to him didn't change the fact that he loved his children unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did he love me? I don't know.
Mm.
At this time, have no idea if he really loved me or if I was just an instrument for him to have children, for mm-hmm. him to go to these different schools. And, you know, you have to entertain, you have to, you know, be part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
I loved all that. But in the end, it was like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
And I, you know, I can't begin to tell you the number of sleepless nights, the amount of crying, trying to keep everything from the kids, and just, you know, trying to carry on as a happy family. So that was basically what I was doing during this period of time.
Okay, wait for me.
Okay.
So that's also so important because I know there are women out there right now who's listening and they're going through something similar and they too are trying to keep up a front with the kids and keep everything away from them and then keep this front of like everything's fine. Looking back, Jane, like why do we keep doing that? Why do we feel like we need to do that? And would you have done it that same way again?
You know what? It's hard to say, but the way things have turned out and everything, I would say yes, I probably, because I went with my gut. It's like you go with your gut, and my gut feeling was, okay, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. This is who I need to talk to. This is what I need to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you almost had to, this could have absolutely destroyed our whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was determined. And that is mm-hmm. a word that I use a lot because
mm-hmm.
if you're not determined, and not just in this situation, but in mm-hmm. any type of situation, you have to be determined to keep your family together, to keep the lines of communication open as best you can.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably the biggest, hardest, most difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
What made that difficult?
Because my husband's family and him were not communicators.
Oh.
And we were new in this community. And so, you know, he was hired as a headmaster, so you've got to keep up the appearance. And as it turned out, the girls and I came to the States first. We came ahead of him from the standpoint that, well, let's get them settled in school in the United States, and then, you know, you will eventually come. However, nobody knew that how ill he was. I mean, they had to look at him and suspect for sure, and I'm not sure that he confided in anybody within the school. However, you know, it's, again, I'm going to use the word determined. I was determined. I was not going to lay down and pull the covers over my head and just go to sleep. You know, it's you have that moment where you think, okay, I have to be done with this. But you can't do it because you've got children. You've got other family members that, you know, love you and you love them and you want to, you know, you want, you like life. I like life. I like people. So, and of course, I love my children. So it's like I wanted to keep everything going. We would survive. We would do the best that we can with the circumstances that we have. And
I love it because when I created the Bold Brave Woman group and this podcast, when I think of Bold Brave Woman, I don't just think about the glorious stuff that we do that makes us so bold and so brave and so great. Those are great, you know. There are some of us who are out there in Asia, in the jungle, saving the animals or the children, you know, doing all these amazing things. But I also love those moments where all you want to do is keep the cover over your head and not get up again. And yet you crawled out of bed and you are determined, as you say, this is Jane's word, Jane more sweat. No, it's Jane determined more sweat. determined to keep the family together, to keep everything going because you love life and because you love your children. I think those are especially poignant, bold and brave woman moments that I love to capture. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I think, too, like I said at the very beginning, everybody has a story. You know, it may not be quite as dramatic as a husband dying of AIDS, but there are so many out there. And, you know, we need to not only learn, but they'll make you stronger. And, you know, would I have wanted to go through this? Not necessarily, but I did. And it has made me a better person. It's made me a better friend, a better mother, everything. And, you know, I think so often people that have such a easy life have no idea what it's like. You know, I think everybody needs to have some sort of, I don't want to say everybody needs to suffer, but everybody needs to have some kind of a learning experience in their life.
It's kind of like that Buddhist saying, pain happens, suffering is optional. So pain is good because it allows us to see so much and understand so much about ourselves, but the suffering and the putting the cover over your head and feeling sorry for yourself and quitting and giving up, that would not be part of the Bold Brave Woman ethics or code of conduct.
exactly.
So you said that it made you a better friend, a better mother, and a better person. How did going through that make you a better friend, mother, and person?
Well, I guess because I know what it's like when somebody dies. And not just from him, but also when I started, and this was really kind of a fluke. You know, I needed a job when I moved to Florida. So I got a job in this office where it was a brand new doctor, an oncologist. And he gave me the opportunity to kind of do what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those, several of those things were starting support groups. And I told him in the beginning, I said, well, this support group's really for me. But, you know, cancer patients are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And so many of them, you know, I heard more than once, would I have wanted to have cancer? No. But I got it, and I'm glad I did, because it has taught me so much. I've heard patient after patient say that.
Yep.
And so having these support groups for cancer patients, and then we had caregiver groups, and then we had, you know, different massage therapists come into the office and, you know, did little makeup sessions for the patients. And we also, I got a group that wanted to give back. And so I said, well, you know, do you have a driver's license? Do you have insurance? And so we started our own little program of, you know, bringing patients and taking them home. And I had one gentleman in my office one day. He said, you know, Jane, this is the best thing I've been able to do in years, is to be able to come and take, you know, bring the patients here and take them home. It gives me a purpose. So
that's
everybody,
beautiful.
I think, wants to have some purpose in their life, mm-hmm. you know?
Isn't
Otherwise,
that so interesting? It reminds me of the quote that we hear from Steve Jobs, you know, in one mm-hmm. of the speeches that he gave, where he said, you know, there's all these dots that happen in your life. And when you look back, you'll see how all these dots make sense and they all line up for a purpose and a reason. And this dot of having a husband who had AIDS and then died, you know, it's a big dot. And it's like, by itself, doesn't make sense. But looking back, it's like, oh my gosh, from there, it goes right into moving to Florida and restarting your life. And then, holy moly, you get to start a support group. You get to learn how to support people with illnesses, with life-threatening illnesses, and helping their whole system to help them thrive. Beautiful and powerful at the same time.
Well, you know, it's just a matter of being determined to make things work for you.
That's right.
You know, and I was fortunate. My kids were basically good kids. So, you know, there's always one that has to test you the most, and, you know, we
All
got
right.
through
let's,
it.
Let's talk about that one. What was that one like, to raise that one?
Well, I think with Megan, she, you know, she was a daddy's girl. And when she came here, you know, girls are clicky. And she just didn't find the right click, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so we butt heads, but we also, you know, she's now my best friend. So, you know, you learn, you live, you get through it. It's a matter of, you know, picking the right battles as well, and also being there for them when they are suffering and going through stuff. But, I'm very proud of all three of them. They've done very, very well.
Of course.
Yeah, they're great.
So,
I have great kids.
So back to your story, so the husband died and you decided to move back to the States and move to Florida so that you can rebuild.
Right.
As you said, rebuild from scratch at 40s. Now, I actually do know something about that because my parents and my family, we escaped out of Vietnam when my parents were in their early 40s. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they literally came to this country with no money, no language, no support, other than the church, the local churches here, but pretty much from scratch. So what was your journey like clawing your way up from nothing?
Well, I was fortunate that after about a year, my aunt and uncle had a house. They came down here and had a house here. So I was able to do laundry at their house, and they fed us. And I mean, I would not have been able to survive if it hadn't been for them. And also, you know, for where I was working, you know, you start off at minimum wage and you can be determined to go that extra mile and start, you know, making some changes that you see could be implemented in an office, or, you know, just be smart about your decisions and be smart about what you want to do and where you want to go.
Right. And when you say be smart, what does that mean?
Well, you know, don't fall into the office, you know, fofoca, as we say in Portuguese, the gossip and all of that. And also, I think, you know, people nowadays have to, you know, don't expect it to be handed to you. You know, you've got to work for what you want. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't think you're going to be making hundreds of thousands of dollars the first time you walk in the door. Mm. And, you know, so it's like you try to, even though nobody is indispensable, you try to make yourself indispensable.
Right. So
being that person that, you know, people can come and talk to, that people feel confident about, that they will share things with you because they know that you're not going to be, you know, blabbing it all over town. And, you know, you've got to show respect for everyone.
Yeah. So the certain, that we may change, we may grow, we may have more technology, but certain principle of life doesn't change. Like, when you start over, be humble and and don't expect much, but give much and just make yourself indispensable and be the person that people will come and talk to, can't live without. And before you know it, it's a whole new life ahead of you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and, you know, I'm grateful. I am so grateful. Not just to... I'm grateful for everything in my life, and I was very, very fortunate to meet a man who absolutely adores me, and he took on these three kids, and he took on this story, and, you know, that's a lot to ask of a person.
Oh, yay! This
crazy wife.
Ending. Oh, Jane, that's so adorable. Thank you for putting that in here. It's like, so we do have a happy ending, everyone, you know, like, and it's a classic fairy tale happy ending. So how did you meet him, and how did you let him love you? Because this is also one of the things that when I work with my clients, it's actually really hard for women to let love in and let a good man to come in to love them and support them. So,
well,
how did you
yeah.
meet him, and how did you let him love you?
Well, it was a sleazy bar, to be perfectly honest.
Yay! It's even got a little dirty and sleaziness to it. Go ahead. You met him at a dirty, sleazy bar, and then what happened?
Well, we just, you know, it was one of those groups that were starting up, these single groups that, oh, we're not going to go to a bar or anything. Well, where's the place they meet? In a bar. So he was out checking out the women along with a friend of his, and I was there with a friend of mine, and we just started talking. And, you know, I dated a little bit, and I thought, well, let's see if he gives me his card and, you know, if there's
spark.
Yeah, let's make sure there is, you know, not a Mrs. attached to it or anything like that on you know, the end of the phone line when you call. So, no, we just started dating and just things just went from there to where we are today, and hoping that Hurricane Irma isn't going to hit us.
So for those who are listening, you know, we are getting ready, preparing for Hurricane Irma to hit land. And on Jane's side of the country, I'm over in California and Jane's in Florida. So truly though, can you think of a time or in the beginning of the relationship where, like, did he want to go closer before you, or did you want to go closer before him? And what was the struggle, if there was one, between, you know, letting love in either for you or for him?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure that I can answer it all that famously, but I was kind of long-armed about things, you know, just on my guard, and would try to pick up different things because he'd never been married before. And so it was like, well, that's kind of weird, you know. So, but actually then when he proposed, I was like quite surprised and thought, okay, this is it. Hey, hallelujah, girl. So, no, he's absolutely a fabulous man, and I'm fortunate and grateful to have him in our lives.
Beautiful. And how long have you guys been married?
We've now been married about 18 years.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
What would you say to those bold, brave women who are going through something like this right now, you know, where whatever they know fell apart in their life and they are completely devastated and having to put one foot in front of the other? What would you like to leave with them?
Well, first of all, we have the power. We really do. I think a lot of women don't realize that, you know, when your husband or your man, you know, I think you can tell that there's a time when you have to get over thinking you have to have a man. If you get to that level where you're happy with yourself, that's when you're going to find that person. That's kind of what I had to go through, was, you know, especially after he died, and then we're trying to get, you know, a life going and some kind of a routine and trying to make some money to pay the bills and everything. And, you know, but you're devastated by everything, and it's going through your mind that why isn't anyone attracted to me, or why am I not with somebody, or what's wrong with me, or blah, 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 blah. We do all those head games with ourselves, and it's thrown in our face all the time. You know, you have to look a certain way. You have to have this. You have to have that. That's bullshit. You don't have to have any of that. You have to be yourself. You have to be happy with yourself. No matter what size you are, whether you're a size 8 or an 18, you've got to be happy, and you've got to care about yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, who else is going to want to help take care of you as well? So I think my biggest, and one thing I've always told my girls too, is to make sure that, you know, you can take care of yourself. You do not need another person in your life to take care of you. Take care of yourself, and then it'll fall into place. I feel bad for so many people these days that feel that they have to compete with other women. Women are our best friends. We need to keep it that way.
Awesome, baby. So one last question. Usually when I have these conversations, it kind of stumble out to be like, what's your life motto? So like if there's one sentence that would grab it for you, you know, for me it's like, sail forward fast, build your wings on the way down. For another guest, it was fortune smile on she who dares. So what's your life motto?
Well, number one is treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Don't mm-hmm. be judgmental, you know, which I think is a hard thing for, you know, we're all judgmental to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe keep your thoughts to yourself until after you've actually gotten to know that person and find out mm-hmm. how wonderful they are. And also, you know, fake it till you make it, baby.
People are.
And give everybody a smile. And also, you know, if you like the way somebody's blouse is, tell them they look nice in that blouse. Try to have, you know, it goes a long, long way.
Yeah.
It really does.
Beautiful. Well, Jane, thank you so much for taking time out of your hurricane preparation to be here with us today. And I am actually going to be back in Florida in late October and November. So I look forward to playing and creating and doing some fun stuff with you and your organization. Oh, say a little bit about Women with Purpose.
Well, I started Women with Purpose because the oncology office sold the company, and we had a foundation, and it got to the point where I didn't really like what they were doing with the foundation that we had started, and so I quit. And after being home for about a week going in circles, I woke up one morning and I thought, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to start my own foundation. And so that's what we do. We help cancer families with non-medical financial assistance. We pay their rents, their mortgages, electric bills, car insurance, car repairs, car payments. I have a wonderful group of women. We put on events and have events for us. We also get gift cards. And if anyone is ever on food stamps, you know that you cannot buy anything that's paper products or personal hygiene items. Mm-hmm. So we provide those for some of our folks as well. But and also gas cards and gift cards to grocery stores and things like that. But that's what we do. And for me, it's you know, nobody makes any money. We're all volunteers. It's very much a grassroots organization. And we've helped a lot of people. I've had women tell me that if it weren't for Women with Purpose, I'd be homeless. And that's pretty powerful right there.
Wow. So if people want to donate money to your organization, how would they do that?
Oh, that would be lovely.
we hadn't thought about that question. No, I'm like, hey, we need to ask that question.
Our website is womenwithpurposefl.org. And, you know, we have a donate button there. So, yeah, that'd be great. Would love it.
So women with purpose, just spell it out in one word, .com?
Women with purpose. FL. Make sure you put that FL in there for Florida.
Okay.
.org. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Great. I'm so glad I asked.
Yeah.
And then from there, they can donate money to that, to the organization.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yep. Okay.
Well, thank you so much. Go ahead.
Let me know when you're going to be here in October, because we've got a couple events coming up that you might be interested in.
Yes.
Shoot me an email. Shoot me an email, and I'll let you know what they are. But thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's thank you so much, really, to go back in time and dig out this beautiful story and finding words to talk about what's it like for that time of your life. It's so helpful to all of us, and your courage and your wisdom and your determination is palpable and also helpful to all of us. Thank you.
Well, I hope so. Thank you. Thank you. Take care.
This is May. This is Mayvu of Bold Brave Woman Podcast. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to bringing you more yummy and delicious conversation with Bold Brave Woman like Jane Morse Sweat here. And you can find us on Facebook at Bold Brave Women, Bold Brave Women Facebook group, or there's also my fan page, Bold Brave Women. So sign up, find me there. Register, ask to become a member, and also share your stories with us, and I might just put you on my video show. Have a wonderful day and evening, everyone, and talk to you on the next Bold Brave Woman podcast.
Thanks for listening. We hope you were touched, moved, and inspired by today's story. If you resonate with these stories and would love to tell yours, then join our Bold Brave Women Club on Facebook, facebook.com/boldbravewomen.